What's up, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of the Hot Take Podcast, where I and my co-host Nat give you our hottest takes on all things NBA. Nat, it's been a little bit more than a week now. How you been, bro?
I've been doing good, man. We're almost at the end of this new year, about to embark on a new one. Some things in the NBA world has stayed the same and will be the same going into the next year, while others have changed. So I think we'll get into a lot of that today.
I mean, speaking of, you know, a lot of things staying the same, a lot of things changing, let's just do a quick update on the Detroit Pistons. And yep, they lost. They lost again today to the Brooklyn Nets.
And it's funny because they were given that rematch. They faced Brooklyn before Christmas, that game before. Yep. They lost. Had them again tonight as we're recording, and they still lost. And it was close, too. I think it was within 10, I believe, from what I saw.
Yeah, they lost by 6. At one point, it was like within 2. And then,
yeah.
yeah, and then ended up losing by 6. I do feel bad for them. I feel bad for Cade Cunningham. However, in one of my leagues where it's just straight like fantasy points, Cade is killing. I think he gave me like almost 80 fantasy points tonight.
Oh, geez.
Like
the, wow.
Yeah, when he typically averages maybe like in the 30s or 40s. So like
one point about Detroit, right, is now they're officially possessing the longest like losing streak in history, right? That's what one of the stats was. It's like at this point, when you're facing Detroit, you kind of don't want to lose because you don't want to be associated with that, you know, that history and like be the first team that they actually win against. Like, because what they have, like, you know, I think they have Houston up next and Celtics and Toronto and all that stuff. Like, if you're one of those teams, you don't want to lose to them because then that's kind of embarrassing for you as well, right?
I think it was Cam Thomas who said that before their first match.
Oh, really?
Yeah. They were interviewing Cam Thomas on the sideline. He was like, oh, yeah, we know what we have ahead of us and we don't want to be that team. And they're like, oh, what do you mean by that? And they're like, everyone in the league knows what's going on with them. We don't want to be that team to, you know, to give them their
be
win.
The outlier.
Yeah,
exactly.
And like, if I'm being perfectly honest, my biggest fear is that it's going to be Miami.
Why is your team always your biggest fear? You had a fear yesterday when they were playing the 76ers on Christmas Day that they were going to lose. It's always your fear. Your team has got to be part of your happiness at some point.
Miami shows up for the really big games, and then like they just lose like the dumbest games imaginable. And I can picture them losing to the Pistons by like 8 points.
Yeah,
final score is going to be 98-90. That's my prediction. Or whenever the next time they played,
I guess we'll see.
But let's do a quick recap of the. Everyone says, especially prior to this season, right? This season was the first season with the in-season tournament. In previous years, people were
who won,
like,
by the way?
NBA season.
Who won that first inaugural in-season tournament, by the way? Do you want to say it real quick for the fans who forgot?
The Los Angeles Lakers.
Thank you. Thank you. Let's make it clear. You know. All right, go on. Keep going.
What's the record since that?
Well, you know, it's a work in progress. You know, at least we won twice. Out of the 8 games.
So, what's it called? Typically in seasons past, it would be, you know, the Christmas games was like the official start of the NBA season. But this, obviously, this year with the in-season tournament has been different. I don't know about you. I feel like the first part of the season has been like jam-packed with games, you know, because of the in-season tournament. Not in a bad way. Like, I think it's a good thing. I think it's a great thing.
Yep.
But with that said, yesterday was the Christmas Day games, and the first ones to start it off were the Bucks and Knicks. And I would like to point out for all of our listeners, I had messaged you prior to the start of the games, and I asked you who would win, Bucks-Knicks. You had Bucks.
Yes, I had the Bucks.
I had the Knicks. Needless to say, I got that one right. Because, let me ask you this. Why did you think the Bucks were going
to
win?
I feel like they were finding or starting to find their groove over this last week. I don't know what the actual stat is, but I mean, I think they've won a good amount of their games the past 2 weeks. I thought they were kind of, you know, starting to click and figure it out. But actually, even to that point as well, they won the game before Christmas Day, which was against the Knicks, because they faced the Knicks before Christmas Day and then on Christmas Day, like those 2 days before. So I thought, oh, okay. I was like, oh, just thinking about it logically, they're gonna win again because it's the same game again the next day. And I was wrong. Emmanuel quickly was, somehow a mid-range and floater god during that game, and they were guarding Dame perfectly. Giannis kind of seemed like he was like not in his right flow, like not as aggressive during that game. Like whenever he got fouled, he would kind of like look at the ref and not hustle back, to catch up with the defense.
Right.
Things like that. I mean, maybe because it was a, noon game or something and they was out of their rhythm, but yeah, I
Maybe
had the
they
Bucks
woke
all
up too
alone.
early to open a presents and stuff like that, didn't get ample sleep.
Exactly. And
Yeah.
they're in New York. New York's cold right now. Maybe
Right.
the weather was, it's, I don't know. It's not like a good old Wisconsin weather that they're used to. But yeah, I had the Knicks, sorry, I had the Bucks and I was wrong.
So I had the Knicks because, like, even regardless of the game prior to the Christmas Day match, I was like, who on the Bucks is gonna stop Brunson? I feel like Brunson is just too shifty, too quick, lady of Emmanuel quickly. And then on the flip side, like, in addition to who's gonna stop Jalen Brunson, I'm like, the Bucks defense has been kind of lackluster the last few weeks. And then obviously you're just gonna target Dame like the entire time, and no one's gonna stop Brunson. So that's why I went Knicks.
That's fair. Fair assessment.
Next game, we had the Warriors versus the Nuggets, and you had the
Oh, God.
Warriors,
I
and I
have my
had
reasons.
the. Okay, let's hear your reasons.
Okay, just to finish your thought, though, the Nuggets did win that game. Warriors
Yes.
lost, right?
Yes. And for the
The
record, I
Warriors.
had the Nuggets winning.
Yes, you did. Yep. So I picked the Warriors because of one, just one stat that I read. And I was like, all right, I'm just going to just agree with it. They were 4-0 up to that point in the last four games without Draymond, especially. So I was like, oh, they're riding a hot streak. Maybe they'll carry into that game yesterday. I was clearly wrong. Although it was a close game throughout the whole entire game. Like it
It
was
was.
like Nuggets would be up three, Steph hits a three, now they're tied. It was like a back and forth, just very close range. But I guess towards the end, they kind of gave up the Warriors. So,
Right.
yeah. And I think Trayce Jackson-Davis, who's obviously their new, shining star against alongside with Pods, but TJD had like five fouls heading into the fourth, so couldn't really, handle Jokic that way. Sarge was okay, but yeah, they just had the answer for a big like that, like Jokic, or in general, just a big.
That's why I had the Nuggets winning, especially with not without having Draymond there. I feel like Draymond is such a huge key to their offense and obviously to their defense. I think he's kind of
Yeah.
underrated for their offense and what he does offensively for them. Just his IQ alone is like a plus. However, I just feel like the Nuggets were just too big, too deep.
Yeah.
Yeah, there was no
And you
answer for
and
Jokic and.
right. And you also had like Michael Porter Jr. blocking Klay's shots,
Yeah.
like at least twice that game. I
Right.
was like, and like Klay was, I mean, Klay, to be honest, has been kind of the reason why they've been losing for some of these games because he'll catch the ball and then just immediately just shoot it. Like not even
Right.
care about where he is in range. He'll just catch it and shoot it. And there was just one possession where he just caught it, went up for the shot, and then Michael Porter Jr. just already knew it and he was already up, just trying to block it
Right.
already. So it's that kind of thing too. Like Klay has also kind of been the reason why. I mean, he's been doing great these past few games, but his, decision making has been subpar, to say the least.
I think it's interesting the you mentioned the rookies for the Warriors. I always feel like guys like that, like they're so fun to root for, the guys that fly under the radar, guys that go undrafted, and they're getting like actual game time minutes and they're productive. And like that's what reminds me of how the Warriors were before with some of the talent that they had. And I felt like over the last couple of years, they kind of strayed away from that. You know, they obviously they won like lottery picks and stuff like that. But I also feel that a lot of their lottery picks were not getting ample playing time to kind of learn and grow in the NBA. For example, like Moses Moody, Jonathan Kuminga. I mean, now, you know, they're starting to see more minutes. I think Moody more so than Kuminga. But I feel like if you gotta like kind of let those guys run to see their full potential.
Yeah.
But to
And
your
then
point, I've
to your point too, though. Sorry, to your point too. I think Kuminga has played more because he started that game yesterday.
Right.
Moody, I think, has been out of the rotation because of Wiggins now on the bench. So,
Oh, okay.
I think Kuminga is starting to gain traction there.
But you have that dude, Podchevsky.
I think it's like Podzemski, like he has a Z in there somewhere, you
Yeah, one of those names. But like,
know.
I like that guy. I like the energy he plays with. He's pretty
He hustles a
intense.
lot. Yeah.
Yeah, very like. Let me see, we're a couple of
Don't
minutes
say he
into the
culture. Like,
podcast.
don't say
He's very
that.
like heat culture. It's a good
I
heat
knew it.
culture guy right there.
Well, he's on the Warriors, so I guess no heat culture there for now.
Well, if you think about it, Gabe Vincent, was it Gabe Vincent? I think it was Gabe Vincent was on their G League team, and then Miami picked him up. He's either Gabe Vincent or Kendrick Nunn, one or the other, or both. Can't remember. One of those guys.
I'm not sure either.
So I wouldn't be surprised if Miami swoops in. There was something else I was going to mention about. It'll come to me. So I won that one. The next one after that was Celtics Lakers.
Oh, geez.
I can't wait to hear your take on this. Let's hear your logic in why you chose the Lakers.
Mean, it's simple. LeGoat is on the team, but his teammates couldn't help him win the game. Just to say the answer, the Celtics beat the Lakers yesterday, and I had the Lakers, as any fan would pick as a Lakers fan, and you picked the Celtics. You won that matchup. I just thought they won against the Thunder. Again, I'm basing everything on like the previous game and how they were, and I guess that was the wrong idea because
No, I get
they
it.
won
Like,
against the
trending upwards type of thing.
yeah exactly yeah they won against the Thunder the day before or game before. LeBron 47-7. It's pretty
Sheesh.
good. That's crazy. Maybe that could have been thought of as like, oh wait, he did a lot that game, maybe he
Right,
might
right.
not do as much. I didn't think about that, to be honest. But and obviously AD's been very good for the past few games. I think double digit rebounds and assists, sorry, rebounds and points. So I mean, that's what I had thought. Because for the Thunder game before this game, they debuted that new lineup of LeBron, AD, Vanderbilt, Reddish, and Prince. So it's mainly more defense oriented. So I was like, you know what? They're gonna lock up Tatum. They'll put Vanderbilt on Tatum. They'll put Cam Reddish on Jaylen Brown. They'll put Torian Prince on who, et cetera, et cetera. But no, they went on a 12-0 run in the first 3 minutes of the quarter, against the Lakers. So that's when I just kind of gave up and I was like, oh, this is not good. This is not good at all.
I had the Celtics winning because yeah, KP there, yeah, Derek White there, Tatum, JB,
Rivaldi.
Jrue Holiday was there. So I was like, okay, starting five is gonna be solid. Their bench isn't too bad either. So I just felt like there's one of those things too. You obviously I'm sure you've seen it where it's like that's Mamba. That's Mamba's been
Sure.
popping up everywhere. We know Jason Tatum's ties to Kobe and like how much he loved and admired Kobe. So I knew Jason Tatum was going to show up. He showed up in a different way. He was very much a facilitator throughout the whole game.
Yep.
I will say from the sh for the stretches that I saw, I mean your Lakers kept it close for the most part. There were stretches in the game where it was, 1-2 possession game. At some points tying and even taking the lead, like I think third quarter into the fourth quarter. My
Yeah.
takeaways from the game were I'm still like LeBron doesn't cease to amaze me what he's doing at his age, this many years into the league. I thought that was fascinating just to watch him, honestly, just to watch him play in general. Like it's I'm not gonna lie, it's very
Yeah.
very awestruck watching him play.
Boat struck.
AD played with like a certain intensity that he's had over the last few games where if you remember at the beginning of the season, he didn't start off too hot, but like once he kicked up his intensity and it showed in this game too, I feel the biggest steal of the offseason for you guys though, and I'm so jealous of it, is Torian Prince.
Yeah.
I think he was like 6 for 7 from deep or something like that, 5 or 6.
He's solid, man. I mean, like, not only a good 3-point shooter, but he can even defend, drive to the rim,
He can
finish
guard
as well.
multiple positions.
Yep.
And then it's just like he just knows where to spot up. Like his shot is so money, bro. Like, I understand what they're trying to do with Cam, and I think it's great that Cam is there to kind of boost his confidence. But Taurean Prince, man, that's the guy. That's the guy that's going to be there, you know, in the closing minutes of a game, especially a close game like that.
Question,
on the other
real
side,
quick.
Yeah, sure.
Do you like the idea of benching D'Lo?
Yeah. If I'm being perfectly honest, I feel like there's stretches where I forget he's on the court. Like, obviously, LeBron is the main facilitator. You know, he's going to dictate the pace of the game and where the ball goes. I feel like get Gabe Vincent in there some more, because let Gabe do what he was doing in Miami. I think that's a – obviously, D'Lo, you can't – like, his scoring. You know, he's going to score for you. Especially because he's such a streaky scorer. So when he gets going, like, he's going. But, yeah, I feel like, especially defensively, he's a liability. I think the lineup that you had to close the game was a little bit more solid. Yeah.
My only thing with that, with D'Lo being benched, is it kind of takes away from Reeves a little bit. Because I know Reeves, you know, kind of provides that bump off the bench. And I guess kind of share that with D'Lo now. Because I liked what Reeves was doing when D'Lo was starting. Because he would come off, and then Austin Reeves would come on to the floor and then provide that bump. But now it's different. Like, I didn't notice that same aggression last night with Reeves.
Oh, that's
now
interesting.
He has D'Lo next to him. Yeah,
right. That's
and then to your point about Gabe Vincent too. Gabe is now out with a knee injury. He's getting surgery on it, I think, starting tomorrow. So he'll be out for 8 weeks at most. So,
man,
again, man, like I mean, I can't even pull the, you know, healthy injury card, because like we kind of are at full strength minus Gabe. Like, we have all our pieces already. No one's that, you know, no one's out that bad or that long. So I don't know. Like, I'm
also
kind of
worried.
Yeah.
I just feel like you guys need like a solid, like a true point guard. I feel like if you guys had a true point guard, that team would be so nasty.
True point guard or two-way point guard? Because I think D'Lo's a good point guard. He just can't defend.
I don't know. Like facilitating wise, I feel like if you, for example, if you had like Kyle Lowry, someone that could, you know, obviously hit up
Are you trying to put out in the universe that you want Kyle Lowry out of your team?
No, I don't. I'm just saying, like, his IQ, like, I mean, obviously, like a CP3, you know, like that would be ideal as well. But, you know, just someone to help facilitate, even if it's just coming off the bench, you know, the second unit, having a true point guard, someone that would blend well with an Austin Reeves, where like Austin Reeves could still do his thing.
As of today, I did see Shams report that Lakers are looking into a trade for DeJounte Murray. I think he's a fellow clutch, you know, person. So I don't know. That could be interesting. We'll see if that develops into anything serious over the next few days.
I'm not a huge fan of it. DeJounte is one of those guys who, like, he needs the ball in his hand to be himself. Like, I mean, look how he was in San Antonio. You know, like, he was borderline, like, all, you know, all NBA team, borderline, like, all-star. He goes to Atlanta with another point guard, and, like, he hasn't been the same. And then you go to a team like LA where, again, LeBron's going to facilitate most of the offense. You have guys like Austin Reeves who can facilitate the offense. I feel like you need like a veteran point guard, like a Mike Conley, a Kyle Lowry, a Chris Paul. You know, one of those guys. I feel like that would do your team wonders, in my opinion.
I don't know, bro. That clutch connection is knows no bounds. Who knows? I don't mind it because he right now is sharing the floor with Trae Young. So I mean, if you're in LA, you'll be the star point guard. LeBron can be more off ball, because I think he's starting to kind of be more off ball and kind of work, you know, away from where the ball is. I've seen LeBron kind of just be a, you know, a cutter at times, or, you know, but no, I mean, for the past few games, he has to orchestrate and he has all the ball in his hands. But I think LeBron is dynamic. He can play, you know, whatever the team needs him to play.
Mm-hmm.
So
I think it'd be interesting to see.
Sorry for a little tangent there. My bad.
Oh, no, I don't mind.
Talking about DeJounte Murray for a second. But
So on to the
next game. Yeah. On to the next game. All right, go ahead.
Wait, I'm not done. I'm not done with this one.
Oh, yeah, done. Okay.
I want to talk about the Celtics.
Oh, jeez. Them.
So obviously, like, I have certain ties to the Boston Celtics. have certain investments in the Boston Celtics and how their season plays out. And not that aside, obviously, like, I'm just a huge fan of basketball. I like Jason Tatum. I like Jaylen Brown. I think there are, being the future of the NBA, you know, having those two guys kind of lead that way, like, I think that's great for the league. But I don't know if this is like a player thing. I've heard it on other podcasts where it was a coaching thing. So my point is, Joe Mazzulla supposedly, I guess at the beginning of the season, mentioned how he wants the team to take at least like 50 threes a game, something like that, some like absurd number.
Mm-hmm.
And that's great. But when you have Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown, who are as tall and long, and now with Tatum being as strong as he is, putting on that muscle, bro, just freaking attack the rim. Just attack. Like, it's one of the most frustrating things to see, where it's almost like when you're playing pickup basketball and you have that obviously like super gifted athlete on your team, but all he wants to do is settle for like three-pointers. When yep. he towers over everyone, it's like, bro, just go to the paint. Just go down. Just shoot over, you know, post up, do something. That's how I feel with Tatum and Jaylen Brown sometimes, where they just settle for these threes. And it's so frustrating. I've seen it in person. I've been at a game. It was the game last year where they played the Knicks in TD Garden. And the whole time they were up. And then in the fourth quarter, the Knicks started to cut into the lead. And it's like the Celtics were just settling for these outside jumpers, contested jumpers. And I'm like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Like, attack the rim. Bro, attack the rim. And then once they started attacking the rim, they were getting the foul calls. They're getting the and ones. I'm like, you see, like, this is how you win. This is how you assert your dominance. As big as that team is, I get so frustrated where there were stretches in that game when the Lakers were starting to make a run. And, you know, credit to the Lakers' defense and their ability to push the ball in transition. I thought, like, that was their bread and butter, was the transition game.
Yep.
LeBron moving as fast as he does, man, like, it's otherworldly. But for someone his age, I'm just like, you have the size advantage. You have the speed advantage. Just attack the rim. Like, why are you settling for threes? Why? I don't get it. I don't understand. Like, KP, go by all means. You know, he could get
a heat. No, he loves shooting the three. He will just shoot that three whenever he wants.
For me, let him shoot it, because as 7 feet tall, no one's blocking that. No one's contesting that. And for the most part, his shots do go in. They weren't going in yesterday, but normally, like, that's his, you know, he's money with that shot.
Yep.
But with the other two, when you have KP out, like, on the perimeter, like, freaking attack the basket, bro. I was getting so frustrated with that.
To your point about that three-point shooting, though, Tatum right now for the season is shooting it 34.7% from three. Not good. So,
but when you see his numbers when he's attacking the paint,
I bet they're amazing.
Yeah.
I guess it's my turn to chime in on the Celtics, huh? All right.
Do it.
I mean, you highlighted all the positives. It's time for us to show the negatives too. All right.
Let's hear it.
And I mean, the one glaring thing is, without Porzingis, they are buns. That's the only thing. That, I mean, if we didn't have Porzingis starting yet last night in that game, I think we actually would have won, because there'd be nobody to guard AD. AD would have went off, I think. So I think he's the X factor. He is the, I guess, the engine of that team. You know,
when for sure.
Full strength.
So him and Derek White, those are the two X factors.
Yeah.
If either of them are out of the lineup, it's going to be an iffy game, in my opinion.
I agree. So you just hope that as a Celtics fan, that they all stay healthy up to,
I mean, even
game 82 and in the playoffs.
I mentioned Kate Cunningham earlier in my fantasy league. Like, I also have Derek White, and like, consistently, he's given me like, you know, 50, high 50s into the 60s, you know, fantasy point wise. Oddly enough, All-Star? I also have Dame. I have Dame in that. I think he's, I mean, he's right there, bro. Being a two-way player, Derek White.
Yeah, I saw last being, night. Good.
I'm trying to think, like, in the East, like, who would the starting guards be?
That's the thing. Like, I think last night JJ Redick was kind of starting a little, Twitter commotion saying like he's an all-star, Derek White is an all-star. A lot of people
Heck
there with
yeah.
violent reactions. But then it's like he's like who else can you think about in the East
Yeah.
who's above him or better than him?
I mean, you
And
got
to be honest,
Jalen
he's
Brunson.
right. You got Brunson, I guess Trae Young, but he often gets overlooked.
I would say Brunson and Maxey and Dame over Trae Young. But that's just maybe I'm again overlooking Trae Young to your point. But like in terms of like two-way, who's going to contribute the most to a team? Like I feel like Derek White has been very deserving of an all-star
I
nod.
think he'll be like the second to last reserve, maybe. I think he
Maybe.
has a chance to do it. Yeah.
At least that. At least that.
But starting, I don't know about starting. I think that goes
No,
to
not starting, not starting.
probably Halliburton and Brunson. I don't know. I mean,
Yeah,
they're
I would have
doing
said
East West
Brunson.
this year, so.
Yeah. Yeah, I would have
Oh,
done maybe
Dame. Sorry,
Halliburton.
Dame. Dame for the name, but who knows?
Yeah, I'd still do Halliburton and Brunson over Dame. That would be
Yeah.
my pick.
That'd be good.
Yeah. But yeah, that's a great point. I feel like if they were able to somehow get Daniel Tice back to kind of bolster up their front court. Yeah, Daniel
Is it
Tice,
Kelly Olynyk
man.
next? Kelly Olynyk next, right? Yeah.
No, he doesn't defend that well. Actually, he gets blocks, but yo, don't sleep on Kelly O, man. I miss him. Every single time I watch him play, they had a play in Miami called the Kelly Keeper. And
My
all it
God.
was, he would come up for the high screen, hand like pretend to hand the ball off, and then just cut to the rim. And it was like one of the it was like 99% effective. Like he's one of the most
It
unstoppable
beat all
players.
the advanced stats.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Man, Utah doesn't know what they have, man.
I guess not.
But yeah, I feel like maybe a Daniel Tice, just another big body to your point, someone that could bang with the other bigs, like a Joel Embiid, an AD, someone like that. Cause like Al Horford, man, like as much as I like him, he's
Up there in
old.
age.
Yeah, he's old. I think this is sometimes like there's moments where they probably miss having Grant Williams or especially Robert Williams.
Oh,
I think, yeah, I think Rob would have
a
been
healthy one, rather. A healthy one.
yes, healthy Rob.
Yes. Wait, so you don't have faith in Luke Kornet? As the backup center to Porzingis in a
Have you ever
playoff
seen his
series?
defense?
Oh, man. So effective.
I've never seen anything like it. It's fantastic. Next
Honest,
game.
honestly, though, honestly, wait, but before we do that, Wemby should do that. I think it would work.
Oh yeah.
I
You know
think
how
he
scary that
maybe
would
like,
be?
yeah, exactly. It's
Yeah.
effective.
I think so. I've done it a couple times in games. Not gonna lie. If my guy is too
What's
far
the
up.
percentage? What's the percentage of misses? What is it?
I would say right now,
100%?
probably 50-50.
Wow.
Yeah.
Those odds are better than even defending. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm defending, they're for sure 100% gonna score. Just kidding. I'm competitive. No blood, no foul. No easy buckets. Heat culture.
dirtiest, hardest working, whatever it's called, team in the
Meanest.
NBA.
Speaking of Miami.
Yeah. Yep. Go ahead. Go
Okay.
ahead.
So we had Philly versus Miami. You had Philly winning. I had Miami. What was your
Please,
logic
please
behind
state.
that one?
Wait. I have Miami winning too. I have
Did
Miami winning
you?
too. Yes. Look at the text. Look at the text.
Oh,
That was the
sorry.
one we agreed upon. That was the one we agreed
Oh,
upon. The
okay.
rest were all different. The rest were all different.
Okay. Got
Yeah.
it. My mistake. My
That's all
apologies.
right. It's all right. Yeah. I mean, because of the obvious, there was no Embiid playing. So I was like, okay, they're not gonna win. But then,
Well,
like an hour before, news came out that Jimmy wasn't gonna play either. So I was like, oh shoot, actually they might win. But nah.
and when I texted
Not
you
going.
that, oh, I should probably switch my pick, it was because I found out that Josh Richardson was also out, who typically would have taken some of those Jimmy minutes.
Come on, bro. You know, be Caleb Martin any day.
Nah, bro. Josh Richardson been playing like 29 minutes a game.
Don't know. Either way, I mean, they have good bench production when Jimmy's out. They have Caleb Martin. I think Highsmith. I don't know if he plays so much anymore, but Highsmith, Josh
He's been in and
Richardson,
out.
Duncan
Josh
Robinson, I
Richardson.
guess.
Duncan Robinson's been solid for us. RJ Hampton's been getting some playing time.
I thought he was a point guard, though, but maybe
He
not.
is a point guard.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean he'll do both.
Yeah.
Whatever they need. What were your takeaways from Sixers Heat?
Didn't watch it. It was just kind
How
of
dare you?
obvious who would win.
How
I
dare
did
you?
watch, sorry, I did watch the last 5 minutes because, why not? And I think I heard that Maxey had no points at the half. I think it was 0 points at the half, I believe, something like that.
Something like that, yeah.
I was like, yeah,
He
they're not gonna
finished
win.
like two. He finished like 2 for 19 or something.
Yep,
And then even
yep.
free throws, I think he was like 2 for 5 or 2 for 6. Like, yeah, it was a
Yeah.
very outlier type game for Maxey. Like,
Exactly.
he was really bad. Like, really bad.
Yep. Yeah, and
I
in the
think he
last
was.
5 minutes, I saw, your background. I saw him kind of flourish and shine in those last couple minutes there. 31 and 10 last night.
The
I
new
mean,
Triple J.
the
The Spanish
new featuring Bad Bunny and J Balvin. Yeah.
remix. So
Even though
worldwide.
they're so sorry, they're not Mexican. Sorry, never mind. I shouldn't say that. But yeah, no. Jaime Jaquez Jr. was outstanding in that game. I mean, from what I saw, I think, when Jimmy's out, he's Jimmy, I guess, right? What do you
Yeah,
think?
yeah. He's like, yeah, he's a clone of Jimmy Butler. Like the playing style, like. So, I mean, since we're talking about it now, we'll do Miami first. Talking about Jaime, every single time I watch him, bro, like even in some of the highlight clips that's on the social media, you know what it is? It's his footwork.
Yeah.
His footwork is so beautiful. Like I'm watching, like studying it, like, okay, I need to do that in a game. I need to learn how to do that in a game. His handle and his footwork for someone his size. It's a thing of beauty, man. Like I get so geeked out watching him play. Like I see the moves, I'm like, ooh, like one of those with the footwork, man. It's for a rookie to have veteran post moves like that, veteran footwork. I mean, maybe it's because he played all 4 years in college. You know, that could be a huge contributor to it. Fun fact, something else that I learned last night, I think they were mentioning it on the telecast. Like most pro players starting, from like late high school into college. They have like their own personal trainers or they have their own personal coaches. The one person to coach him personally his whole life, even now in the pros, like when he goes home, like for breaks or whatever, he has one coach and it's his dad. His dad's the one coaching him. I'm like, man, what is his dad teaching him, bro? Because like the stuff he's doing on the court is like it's crazy for a rookie like that.
And that reminds me, while we're at the subject, and I found this out yesterday too. In this year's draft, the Lakers at 17 picked Jalen Hood-Schifino.
I'm sorry,
The
blush.
next
What?
pick, Jalen
Who?
Hood-Schifino at
Bless
17.
you.
At the 18th pick, the Miami Heat drafted Jaime Jaquez Jr. And well, we can see how that's panning out as of today's date.
Steal of the draft, man. Steal of the draft.
Oh man, this hurts. Just a bad 2 days for Lakers fans so far. Today and
Miami does it
yesterday.
every single time.
Sucks.
I think like Bam was the 13th pick. Tyler was the 14th. Now you have Jaime as the 18th. Miami, man, they do
They
something
find the good
else.
ones. Yeah, they just find the good ones, man.
Well, it's interesting. I saw on social media today there was a team who had invited Jaime Jaquez, Bam Adebayo, and Tyler Hero to pre-draft workouts, like private pre-draft workouts, as if they were actually going to take one, those three
Yeah.
guys. You know who that team was?
I think it's the Pacers, right?
Pacers. Pacers fumbled the bag, man.
That's all
They could
right.
add
They have Halliburton
Hero,
now. They're
Bam.
fine. They have Halliburton. They're fine. They're
That's
good.
one person. They could have had three.
Yeah, well, you have them now, so even better. You're good. You
Yeah.
should be thanking the Pacers. Don't even
Thank
say
you,
they're sorry.
Pacers.
Thank them for not choosing them, and you should
Thank
thank
you,
them instead.
Pacers.
There you go. There you go.
No, yeah, man. So my takeaways from the game last night, I thought for sure with Embiid out, Maxey and Harris were going to step up. I thought with Jimmy being out, I was like a 50-50. And then with Josh Richardson being out, I'm like, okay, we're going to have to rely heavily on Tyler Hero and Duncan Robinson, to
Yep.
produce. But man, 31 and 10 from the rookie. Like literally stepped in to fill in Jimmy Butler's role, bro. Like I was pleasantly surprised.
On the bright side now, Jimmy can rest all he wants now because they have his carbon copy on the bench. Yeah. There
exactly.
You go.
Exactly. I thought and then Miami going on that 22-1 run. I don't know if you saw that or heard about that. They closed the half on a 22-1 run. So because of that, because I saw that, I'm also in fantasy football. And yesterday was like the last day for some of the games. So I was heavily invested in that because it's playoff time for fantasy football. So yep. I watched some of the football games. You know, I left the Heat Sixers game because I'm like, oh, Miami got in the bag. And then like I get an alert from ESPN on my phone, like Sixers and Heat are tied, you know, entering the fourth. I'm like, what? Like, what the heck happened, bro? Like, what's going on? So I stopped watching football, went back to watching the game. Man, that was so stressful, bro. Like, shout out to Kyle Lowry. Kyle Lowry was, you know, hitting big shots. Duncan Robinson, again.
Hold on, wait. 1 minute. Why are you stressing out of the Heat winning a game against no Embiid? Why is it?
That's exactly why. I'm like, of course Miami's going to lose a game without Joel Embiid, man. Just like I'm like,
why would there be any doubt? Lose
to, that's why I'm like, oh yeah, that's why Miami's going to lose to the Detroit Pistons. Like, it's just, that's just how it is.
They're not losing to Detroit, man. The Lakers are.
Oh, man. But yeah, you know, I wasn't too happy with that. But obviously, I'm perfectly fine with the outcome. Guys stepped up when they needed to step up. Bam's continued to play like the all-star that he is, two-way player that he is. I feel like he gets so overlooked and underappreciated for what he does on both ends of the floor.
Yeah.
Like, if he's not in the running for Defensive Player of the Year this year, I was going to say boycott. I won't boycott because I love the NBA. I'm going to do something. I don't know.
You would talk to HR?
I'll talk to HR. I'm going to send a memo.
Well, I mean, if we're going to be real about this, AD's got a strong case for Defensive Player of the Year as well. So
he does. He does.
You know, I'm just saying, man. I'm just saying.
No, yeah.
I don't think they both haven't won it yet, right? Both of them haven't won it.
Yeah.
Okay.
I know Bam was a finalist, and then I think he ended up losing it to Draymond 1 year. Something like that. Something weird.
Robbed.
Yeah. Yeah. Any more takes on thoughts on Heat Sixers?
I guess I have a question. Do you think Philly can win the East with Embiid healthy?
I'm trying to think of their bench. Their bench is kind of solid.
Yeah.
I feel like they're not like, no. They're
probably like one piece away, maybe.
Yeah.
I mean, like the way Milwaukee is trending and with Boston and Porzingis kind of being, you know, somewhat of a hit or miss, I think Philly
for
is
me right
somewhat
now,
consistent.
For me right now, it's Boston 1, Sixers 2.
By the way, to your point about the bench, it's going to be Pat Bev, Kelly Oubre, Paul Reed, Marcus Morris, Covington. Those are pretty good players.
And also D'Anthony. D'Anthony Melton.
I think he starts, though. I think. But.
Oh, okay.
At the shooting guard. Yeah.
But yeah, there was a name that you mentioned. There's
Pat Bev, Kelly Oubre.
Kelly Oubre, man. Kelly was killing us yesterday. He was the one. I think he dropped the Sixers. Yeah, he led the Sixers in scoring.
Yeah,
I'm like, what the heck is Kelly doing, bro?
The real Kelly O. The real Kelly O.
The real Kelly keeper. No, yeah, I think Boston is one, and Sixers are two. Those are the two best teams in the East. The Knicks are scary because I feel like they could just give you so many different looks, so many different problems. And then, not to be a homer, but because of the coaching and the personnel, you got to
say culture. I thought you were going to say culture for a second. No, wait a minute.
No.
All right, you said coaching. That's good.
Coaching. I mean, if you think about it, like, look at who do you feel better about, especially after the, you know, how the Dame trade played out. Who do you feel more confident in, Milwaukee or Miami?
I gotta say Miami, honestly. I mean,
like, if it's a playoff,
I think the continuity is there for Miami.
Yes,
but for Milwaukee, depth, like, you're starting from scratch, you know.
I think it's also the depth. Like, Like Jamal Cain was getting minutes last night. I'm like,
Yep.
who, like, why? Like, I didn't, and we mentioned Highsmith, and then you also have, Duncan Robinson coming off the bench, producing the way that he does, man. It's
But his shot better fall in the playoffs, though.
that's the thing.
His shot better fall. It didn't last year.
I think it will, though. And then Tyler Hero, man. We didn't even talk about Tyler Hero. Tyler Hero
Oh
was 3
yeah.
points away from having, like, having been in some record for most 25-point games after coming back from missing 15 games due to injury. Yeah, he finished
I
with 22
mean,
last night.
we'll see if he gets cooked in the playoffs on defense, though. We'll see. We'll see.
Miami
It's
will find
possible.
ways around it. And Coach Paul, he's going to drop some type of zone that's going to mess
Yeah.
with. Yeah, that's where the Miami's, I think, the most dangerous is. They have arguably the best coach in the league, like X's and O's wise.
No, actually, that might be true. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think it's like rare air
Better than Darvin Ham
there.
for sure. So,
Yeah, like if you take Kui Eric and you put him on like put Kui Eric on the Boston Celtics, that team is nasty. That
Kui
team is gonna be
Eric.
so nasty, bro.
Oh boy.
Defensively, you put Kui Eric on the Lakers with LeBron, they already have history together.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah.
And I heard an interesting one. Put Kui Eric on the San Antonio Spurs. Because
And play an
whatever the
actual
Spurs are
point guard.
doing,
They'll play an actual point guard. Yeah. Yeah.
Because whatever the Spurs are doing is weird. I don't know what Pop is doing.
Free Trey
Pop got me a
Jones.
little bit worried.
That's what I'll say. Free
Yeah.
Trey Jones. Yeah.
Yeah. That's weird. It's weird over there. But also, shout out to Kui Eric, man. Like, that's what a great coach. I'm so glad we have him.
Let's move on, please.
Okay, enough Miami Heat love fest. Let's go to the last game. We have the Suns versus the Mavericks. I picked the Suns. You picked the
Mavericks.
Mavericks. So you got that one correct.
Yeah.
I was 4 out of 5. You were 3 out of 5. 2 out of 5.
2 out of 5.
Okay.
2 out of 5. Yeah.
Okay. Not bad. What were your takes from that game?
I mean, I didn't really watch most of it because I just knew right away that the Mavs would take this one easily. I mean, the past two games too, the Suns have looked off. I mean, I think everyone is clear to that. Everyone sees that. Like their body language is off. Their defense isn't as strong as it should be. And I think they just feel really down because Beal is out. Like, will they ever get a healthy big three on the court ever this season? I don't even know.
Right.
Because if Beal comes back, well, can he get hurt? It's possible. So, I think they're in a really bad spot, the Suns. I think they're now under 500. KD apparently, according to Roge, has now expressed frustration with the team. Like it's like KD, like that's this is all your fault. Like you wanted to come to Phoenix. Like you trade away McHale and Cam Johnson on all the picks. It's like and now you're stuck with just again players who you've signed on the minimum. Like this is players that. They're not the cream of the crop or the creme de la creme. They're just people you got off the street. Like what's his name? Ag Agbaji, Oche Agbaji. It's like who? I mean, sure you
Metu.
have Chimezie Metu. Exactly. Yeah. It's like all these players are just minimum players that don't really have the proven value that you want for a bench. And
And
we
getting
saw
yelled at
last night.
by Devin Booker. You turn the
Not turn
ball
the
over, you
ball
don't want to get
over.
back on defense?
Exactly. Yeah.
Come on, man.
But I mean, let's also chill out to Luka Doncic, man. He is the NBA. Mark my words, on this date at this time, the second, he will be the face of the NBA when LeBron leaves. I'm telling you right now. I'm telling you
Okay.
right now. He'll be the
Okay.
face of the NBA when LeBron and Steph leave. Oh, actually, LeBron, Steph, and KD. When they're all gone, it's Luka's league.
Oh, I
And
can see that. I can see that.
I mean, again, like, what is it? Like, 50, like, what was the stat line? 50, like, 57 and something? I don't even know, but it's like, with no
So,
Kyrie, like, oh, my goodness.
I bring it back to my fantasy league that I'm in. He has the record for most fantasy points scored in our league. I think the previous record was like 108. He scored
Yeah.
119 last night, fantasy points. Nasty.
Crazy, man.
Nasty.
I mean, And like we saw the videos online of him before the game. He was like fooling around.
Yeah,
He's
super
like
loose.
super loose. Yeah, like I'm like a child. Like, dude,
Yeah.
this guy is a killer on the court, but a child on, you know, like outside of it. It's like this is great. Like he's a good personality. He's fun, you know, and like obviously we're all looking forward to that, you know, Booker versus Doncic rivalry matchup,
Right.
whatever. But I mean, he just
And Luka
impressed us
loves
off
it.
the gate.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And like
So
apparently,
the
one more thing too. Booker was mic'd up for the game and he was just like talking to Luka about, you know, like congrats on your daughter, having your daughter, you know,
Right.
kind of like being nice to him because he knows. Like
Yeah.
Booker knows you can't beat him tonight. Like this is
Yeah.
he like cause you know, like Booker, he'll be that like, you know, aggressive slash like, you know, bully on the court when he's winning. But when he's not winning, it's, you know, oh, congrats on having a daughter, you know, congratulations, a lot of stuff.
So I had the Suns winning because I didn't take into consideration that Lively was going to be in the lineup for Dallas, and also that the Suns were down Nurkic. So,
Yep.
and I figured, you know, they're playing at home, but aside from that, I didn't take into account the owner of the Phoenix Suns, Luka Doncic. You know, so like that, you know, that kind of slipped my mind. Like he
Booker's daddy.
owns. He owns Phoenix, bro. Like,
Well, wait. Do you know who Devin Booker's parents are?
who?
He has two dads, Doncic and Jokic. Oh man.
Oh man. One Serbian, one Slovenian.
Make Devin Booker.
Oh man. Yeah, I thought, bro, it's and also it's the Christmas Day game, so obviously Luka, like he's having the time of, like, he just played with so much joy, bro. Like he seems, especially
Yep.
compared to like previous years, he just seems so, this year especially. I mean, he came into the season like in shape. He seems happier. Surprisingly, you know, minus the injury to Kyrie, that whole relationship has worked out really, really well.
Oh,
And they
yeah.
got some serious pieces on their team, man. Lively is no joke. You got like Tim Hardaway
Graham
Jr., you
Williams.
got Grant Williams, you know, kind of the enforcer, which is someone that they needed to be the enforcer.
Yep. What kind
So,
of
yeah.
scares me though is that they're a team that lives and dies by the three. So like
Yeah.
if they're off, they're off and they're probably gonna lose, you know.
Right.
And like also the defense too. I think you lose Reggie Bullock, you know, Tim Hardaway Jr.'s like I, you know, he's still a good defender, but he's not, you know, that 3-and-D guy that you really want. So he's more of a shooter than anything else. So I think, you know, they really have to kind of hopefully be good defensively and make all their threes, and they'll be a good team for sure.
Right. What do you think the Suns need?
God. Honestly, that's what they need. I mean, like at this point, you like first of all, like we can't even gauge them right now because their big three haven't even played together yet. Like this is not even their healthy team yet. And it's
Saw
we're
like a
already
crazy
approaching 3 months
stat
months.
where they've played like collectively 13 minutes together, something crazy like that.
When was that? Was that?
When Beal first came back.
Oh, they had a game. That's right. They had a game together.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay.
Yeah.
Makes sense. Okay.
But it was like 13
Yeah.
minutes together. Something weird like that.
And I mean, like you had no assets to trade to even get a, you know, a good player. So I mean, you kind of just need the buy-in from everybody. Like everyone's got
Also,
to just step
like,
up.
you know, now that I'm thinking about it, I think it's just one of those things where people have got to stop doing like the big three thing. Like the big three thing don't work in today's NBA. I mean, look at when KD went to the Nets and he had Kyrie and James Harden. That didn't work. And then, you know, now he's in Phoenix. You know, it's not working still. You look
Yeah.
at some of the other teams, you know, that try like a big, like if you look at the successful teams, it's right now it's like you gotta have like a big two and like solid role players, like Boston, like the Lakers, like Miami. You know, two superstars and then like solid role players. Better if like some
I
of them
think
are like
though,
borderline all-star.
yeah, I think though, if you do want a big three on your team, one has to be like a good, solid, or sorry, great defender. Like look at the Bucks 2 years ago with Jrue Holiday. Like he was
Right.
their third out of the three, who was also a good defender. look at Nuggets last year. Aaron Gordon was their defender against LeBron
Right.
and everyone else. So I mean, one of them has to be a good defender. And right now for the Suns, they both, sorry, they all can defend or
Right.
defend poorly. So.
I long ago, when before going to Brooklyn, I always thought to myself, KD would look really good in a Heat uniform.
All right. Fit it into the podcast. Go ahead.
But now I wouldn't want him. I wouldn't want him on the team. He's an amazing athlete. He's an amazing scorer. Like he loves basketball, but I don't know. Like we would have to give up so much to get him, and I don't want to do that. Like if we could pick up like a you know who I would really like? This is what I was gonna mention earlier in the podcast.
Michael Jordan.
When we were talking about who did I say was a good Heat culture guy earlier in the pod? I can't remember.
It's too much discussion right now. Yeah, I can't remember.
But yeah,
Too many hot, 20 hot takes.
the one I've always wanted for the longest time, Colin Sexton.
What?
Bro, give me Colin
Colin
Sexton, man.
Sexton?
Give me Colin Sexton, bro. Miami would
I thought
unleash
you were gonna
Colin
say
Sexton.
like Anthony Edwards, Shea. Like we want Colin
Oh, those
Sexton?
are givens, man. Those are givens.
Oh, okay. All right,
But yeah,
never
I'm
mind.
talking about like sleeper picks,
Okay,
like
fine.
guys
Super. Okay, fine.
that aren't gonna like be at the top of the pecking order. Like I just want like solid like I mentioned in previous podcasts, like give me Russell Westbrook, that high energy, intense guy. Like I would love a fit like that. Colin Sexton with that youth and like he wants to win, like he wants it bad, like he cares. Like
Young
he gives a
bull.
crap.
This is a
Yeah,
game, right?
man. Young bull. Put bring him to Miami, bro. Let us unleash him.
Is Zach LaVine a Heat culture guy or
No. No. I do not want Zach
why
LaVine.
does no team want Zach LaVine? Like
The only team that wants
no.
Zach LaVine is your team.
No,
But
I've heard from reports that they don't want him now. That it's unlikely according to those reports. So
you know what? If any team were to be able to make it work, it would be your team. I feel like. I feel like it's you're getting the scoring of a Zach LaVine, but you have players to kind of cover up the defensive liabilities.
yeah, that's the key thing is the defensive liabilities. I mean, the one team that I want them to be on is Philly. I think that makes the most sense because that's their missing piece is a stunning scorer like that. So
Oh, in the Anthony Melton spot, I could see that.
I guess so. Even Tobias Harris, to be honest, he's always inconsistent. So
I would keep Tobias there, but yeah.
that for that money, I don't know. For that
Yeah.
contract,
Yeah. Valid. Definitely not Miami though. I wouldn't want him in Miami. I wouldn't mind DeMar. I wouldn't mind DeMar in Miami. But
oh, actually, yeah. I mean, look, him and Lowry, that connection right there, that's an automatic.
it's kind of redundant in the sense that like him and Jimmy kind of do the same thing. And now you have Jaime Jaquez Jr. DeMar's not known for being a 3-point shooter. He's more of a 2-point,
Mid-range.
green light guy. Yeah.
Yep.
So I don't know how much sense that fit would make. It would be, I mean, I always thought about it when before going to or re-signing with the Bulls, I really thought Miami had a chance of getting DeMar because of the Kyle Lowry thing. I was like, oh, this is going to be great.
At this point, Miami operates through the drafts, okay? Like Miami is not going in free agency to get the most,
They're
highly
not.
regarded free agent
Yeah.
on the market.
But for
Have you seen
whatever
the
reason,
past
it
3 years?
works. It
Yeah, for some reason it
works.
works. Yeah.
That's why when
I don't
people are
know,
like,
man.
oh, are you sad that you guys didn't get Dame? No, I was fine. I was fine. Like,
Yeah,
even
you
last year with
because you guys have
with
Jaime
the
Jaquez Jr. now. You're good. You're good. You have him now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But like, I mean, if we could get like a Colin Sexton for, draft picks and like a Jamal Kane or a Drew Smith, by all means, like or even a Russell Westbrook. I would love those guys on
Give me
my
your
team,
solid role
man.
players for bums. Yeah,
Colin
that'll for sure work. Jamal Kane and who? Drew Smith.
Sexton's getting any barely like he's barely getting
Also,
playing time in Utah. He's averaging like 21 minutes.
yo, I'm looking at your depth chart right now. What happened to Jovic? I thought he'd be playing more too.
On the G League. They sent him to G League.
Damn.
But he's tearing it up in G League though. He's like averaging like 30 something points a game.
He should
Like
be
double double
Bam's,
machine.
Bam sub when he's needs rest. It should be Jovic,
I don't know what they're
but
like they did the same thing with Omer Yurtseven a few years ago.
yeah,
Like Omer was like I saw him play in like G League games and summer league games and like overseas. Like he's solid, bro. Like any other team, I mean, Utah's not really utilizing him that well. Like, but Miami obviously could unleash him. Like I'm waiting for them to unleash Jovic. Like I mean, if he's tearing up the G League like that, like, come on. You mean you're gonna play Jamal Kane over Nikola Jovic? Like Orlando
I mean,
Robinson? Like,
yeah,
I
Kevin
don't
Love,
know,
Thomas
man.
Bryant, those make sense, but
Yeah.
I
I
don't know. I
guess
mean,
it's
like
like,
you're seeing the Heat tap into their youth with Hawkins Jr. and with,
yeah.
it's they should go with the, youthful route for the center as well.
And like Jovic had like a solid summer with the FIBA, with the
Yeah.
summer games. Like he did really well. I don't understand why they're not incorporating him into the lineup. Maybe Kwee Eric has something up his sleeve. That's probably what it is. That's probably what it is.
Damn, bro, not even Mister. It's Kuya now. You guys got a little something brewing, a little something leadership going. Okay.
Hey, you gotta show respect to the
To the elders.
yeah. Filipino pride, bro. We got Manny Pacquiao, now we got Eric Spoelstra.
What happened to Jordan Clarkson, bro? What happened
He's
to
there
Jordan
too. Jalen
Clarkson?
Green, but they're the young bucks,
Jeez.
man.
Young
They're
Bucks,
the young
okay.
bucks. Yeah. They're the up and comers. Anything for this week that you want to bring up? Any other takes, thoughts?
I mean, no. The one thing I'm intrigued about the most is just the race for the East. Like, who's gonna win it? I think for the West, it's pretty much gonna be Denver and somebody. That's like the pretty much the set in stone type. Because look at Warriors, look at Golden State, look at Phoenix, look at those teams. They're not gonna make it or be in the play-in at
Minnesota's looking
least.
really good, though.
I know. I like don't want to admit it, but they do look really good.
They look really good.
OKC, I don't know. Like they might be like a mid, like 4 or 5 seed probably,
Oh, for sure.
and
For
everything.
sure.
And then there's Sacramento as well. So,
Yeah.
but yeah, like it's just like the East intrigues me. That's all. Cause like all the East teams, like the higher teams, like from Boston, Philly, Milwaukee, Knicks, and the Heat, like those 5 teams, it's like they all got one flaw. It's interesting to see how that shapes up.
So for me, this upcoming
Also,
week.
sorry, one more thing, the all-star race too. Like who is an all-star? Because on
Okay.
the east side, the guards is kind of tough to decide for two. Like, sorry, starting lineup for the all-star
Right,
starting
right,
lineup. Reserves,
right.
that's fine, but starting lineup, east, it's hard to decide who, between those three guards that we mentioned earlier. And then for the
Right.
west, there's Shea, Luka, Steph, Book. It's hard to pick
Yeah.
two guards there, That's going to be a fun race to see how it pans out.
Yeah, keeping my eye out on that. And obviously we'll talk about that on the pod when that breaks. For me, I'm looking up, I'm like keeping my eye on like fantasy stuff. I mentioned before, like for NBA, I'm in 4 different fantasy leagues. No, wait. Yeah, 4 fantasy leagues. And in 2 and 3 of them, it's just been like back-to-back losses. Like the last couple of weeks have been really rough for me with like the in-season tournament, with the holiday, the shortened weeks, like it's been really rough. I was in our league. I was in second place at one point. Now I'm in sixth. I've lost like 2 weeks in a row or something. Like it's really bad.
Yeah.
In this other league that I'm in, I was first in my division. Now I'm in second because I lost back to back weeks. Talking about the Pistons, there's I'm not going to name any names, but there's a guy in our league who hadn't won yet. Guess who gave him his first win? Like, come on, man. It's
Oh
not a good
man.
look. And then in my fantasy league's point, one of the guys, he dropped the most points in the league so far this season on me. And it's just one of those things, man, where like I got so many guys out, like Joel. I have in one league, I have Joel Embiid out, I have Kyrie Irving out. I have
Yeah.
like guys that are a bunch of like day-to-days. Jimmy Butler's been out. Carl Cat's been out. It's been really rough fantasy-wise. And then my latest one, I'm currently in first place. It's a Yahoo one. That one I'm in first place, but this week is not looking up. Like I might lose this week. So it's kind of rough fantasy-wise.
I think it's just
I
December. It's just a pretty rough month for fantasy, probably. Just
think it is.
December in general. Because yeah, you're right.
On the
Like you
bright
have the
side.
holidays and the in-season tournament, so it's just two back to back. It's rough. It's rough.
On the bright side, before we go, I mentioned I was, you know, I'm doing fantasy football. It's my first year doing it. And for the playoffs, it's 2 weeks. So like you play one person for 2 weeks. And then if you win, you move on to the finals. So the first week I beat this person, you know, by a pretty good margin. And it's collective. So the 2 week combined is that's your total scoring output. But leading into this weekend, I had like five people, you know, questionable, out, injured. Throughout the season, I've lost like three or four people to injuries. So it's been really rough. And basically what happened was on the last day, I had three people playing. He had one. So I had like an 84% chance of winning. By the time he finished his games, I had one person left and it was like a 50-50. Ooh. And I was like, bro, there's no way. The one guy I had left was playing in the game last night. He's a wide receiver for the Niners. And the Niners had a really rough game last night. And with the start of the fourth quarter, I checked the stats. I had a 1% chance of winning. And I was like, I texted him like, good game, bro. I can't believe this is going to go out. Because my quarterback throws out four interceptions. So my wide receiver is obviously not getting any catches. It was my wide receiver that was in the game. And I'm like, bro, I just need like something. So I'm like, whatever. And then after the NBA games, I go back to the football game. There's 3 minutes left. As I start watching, the wide receiver I have makes two catches for a collective like 60 yards. Mm-hmm. And I go to check fantasy. It went from 1% to 99% chance that I was going to win. I was like, yes.
Dang.
To the finals.
A good ending. I thought it was going to be sad. Oh, 2 points?
I went by Dang. 2 points.
Wow.
Man. Yeah, that was.
Talk about a comeback.
What a comeback, bro. 1% chance of winning with 3 minutes left.
It's like the Lakers last year, you know, starting at 2-10 and now, you know, the chances of going to the playoffs were so low. And look at that. They made it. Dang, man.
And now they're in-season tournament champions.
Let's go. Let's go. First of many for this season. First of many chips this season.
Oh, man. I don't think Doritos and nachos count, bro.
Oh, wait, no. You mean Ruffles? LeBron's.
Yeah, Ruffles. Yeah. I forgot. Sorry. He's sponsored. He's endorsed. So I think that does it for this week's podcast.
Yes, sir.
All right. All right, Nat. I'll see you next week.
I'll see you
later.